We are holding on Kuf Chaf Aleph on the days, the second line from the bottom. We said in the Mishnah, after we talked about the, in the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, we learned about Olol. We said that it combines together for Tumas Eichon, but not Tumas Nevelis. We learned yesterday two different definitions in the Gemara of what Olol is. We said one explanation is that it was Martika, which within that you had a Machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, what that meant. Rashi understood it to be the neck tendon. Tosfos understood it to be dead flesh. And then we have another definition of olol, we said was shreds of meat, of flesh of the animal that were cut away together with the skin and remained attached to it. Now we said, then Rabbi Yehuda had said in the Mishnah that if you gather together a kibetza of olol, Rabbi Yehuda had said that if you have a kazayis, rather, of gathered together olol, then chayav olav, which as we learned before, chayav olav can mean he'd be chayav for eating it as nevela, and he'd also be chayav if he touches it and then goes into the Beis HaMikdash. Now we said there that when we talk about olol according to Rabbi Yehuda, unquestionably we mean these shreds of meat, because there's no reason why Rabbi Yehuda would hold that there's any difference whether it's gathered or not if it means neck tendon. Rabbi Yehuda and olol v'cholah. Rav Huna says that this applies only if he actually deliberately gathered it together. In other words, not, for example, if it just happened to be, like we learned yesterday, for example, let's say it happened to fall into a pile, or children gathered it together where they're not considered to have a maisa, then it wouldn't, then Rav Huna would agree that since it was bottled to begin with to the skin, so it doesn't become meat. Only as far as Tumas Eichlin would we say that Machshava is significant to make it food, but to make it that it should even have Tumas Nevelis, that even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that not. We had some discussion about that yesterday because Tosfos had pointed out that when we're saying we learned this Rehusha Kinsoy, we learned that yesterday as well. And so Tosfos had wondered that, wait a minute, when it comes to Tumah, what's the difference? Machshava doesn't make a difference. So Tosfos says there's no question when it comes to eating, either way he's going to be chayav, whether kinsay, whether he deliberately gathered it together or not. The only question is as far as Tumah. So if he deliberately gathered together, then Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that now it's considered a kazayis of nevela that will make him tummy. Okay. V'omer Rav Huna, Rav Huna also says in this connection, if you have two half pezesim of flesh and they're attached to the skin of an avela, then the skin is mevatel. Then the fact that they're still attached to the skin and it's less than a kazayis each one, so it's bottled to the skin, and therefore even though together in the two areas you have a full kazayis, nevertheless you're still not going to have tumas nevelis. So the Gemara asks al libra deman. Who is Rav Huna talking according to? Yeah, you have a machloikus of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva on this point. You have a machloikus later on in our perek, in a Mishnah where you have a skin of a nevela and you have two half kazesim on it. So now, what if a person picks up that skin? And in picking up that skin, obviously he's picking up the two pieces of the two pieces of nevela as well. So Rabbi Shmuel says over there that it will be metame a person when he carries it, but not when he touches it, because touching is not touching the whole kazayis at the same time. Rabbi Akiva says it's not metame at all, neither b'maga nor b'masa, neither touching nor carrying. So in other words, Rabbi Akiva is going to say it's bottled to the skin, and Rabbi Shmuel is going to say that it's not. When Rav Huna is telling us over here exactly what seems to be exactly the same case, two half kazayim attached to a skin of an animal, of a nevela, and we're saying that they're bottle, and therefore they're not metame, al libe deman. Well, then who is Rav Huna talking according to? Is he talking according to Rabbi Shmuel's opinion? What do you mean? Ha'omer lo mevatel er. Rabbi Shmuel says that the skin is not mevatel, the meat that's attached there. So if he's talking according to Rabbi Shmuel, via libe de Rabbi Akiva, pshita, and if it's according to Rabbi Akiva, then obviously ha'omer mevatel er. Ha'omer mevatel er. Rabbi Akiva says that the skin is mevatel it. And it's in a Mishnah. Rav Huna wouldn't have to be restating what Rabbi Akiva says. He would just say halacha. The halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, which there might be less of a chiddush in that anyway, because the halacha is usually like Rabbi Akiva over an individual tana. Fine, but at any rate, if he said halacha to Rabbi Akiva, that would be one thing. But when he's stating it as though it's an independent statement of his own, then what's according to who is he saying that? Either he's saying according to Rabbi Shmuel and it contradicts Rabbi Shmuel, or he's saying according to Rabbi Akiva, and that's very poshut, and there's no reason for him to say that. So the answer is La'olam alibid Rabbi Shmuel. In fact, he is talking according to Rabbi Shmuel. V'chi omer Rabbi Shmuel le'mevatel ur. When Rabbi Shmuel is saying that the skin is not mevatel, the two half kazesim hani milish platatu chaya. That would only be where that flesh was cut away by an animal, like we learned yesterday, for example, a dog bit the kosher animal and tore away a chunk of flesh. So Rabbi Shmuel is going to say that then the fact that it's attached to the skin is not mevatel it, because it was done shloi midas. There was no das of a person involved in that piece being cut off. Avoplatatu sakin, but Rav Huna wants you to know that if it was removed by the knife when you were skinning the animal, bottle, then even Rabbi Shmuel would agree that it's bottle, because again there is das over there. Okay, you could argue he didn't mean to do it because the knife slipped, but nevertheless there is das involved because he is actually consciously skinning the animal, and therefore they become bottle. They become automatically bottle, and therefore the point would be, then Rashi goes on to say, as the Gemara is going to explain, that therefore even if he gathered it together, then what does it mean? If he gathers it together, it's not going to make them nevela again, but it shows he didn't mean to be mevatel it. So we're going to talk about that point. So far, in other words, again, Rabbi Huna is saying, not according to Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, of course, the piece is a bottle. He's talking according to Rabbi Shmuel. Even Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that pieces of flesh still attached to the skin are not bottle, that would be only when they were cut away by an animal biting it, not as in this case where they were cut away by the knife when you're skinning it. The Gemara says, Toshma. Well then, in that case, then come and prove. We seem to have a contradiction of what Rav Huna is saying. Rav Huna had said two things. Rav Huna had said that according to Rav Yehuda, if you gather together a kezias of olol, then chay of olav, and then a person is chay for it, which we talked about before, can mean as far as eating, or as far as eating it, as far as the issur of eating nevela, or as far as touching it, as far as becoming tamei from nevela. And Rav Huna had also said that if you have two half kezias attached to the skin, then the skin is mevatel them. So now, Toshma, come, let's show that these two statements don't seem to fit together. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, we said that Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah had said Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, olol amachonas, that when you have gathered together olol, im yesh kezayis b'makam echad, so if you have a kezayis all in one place, chayav and olol, that a person is chayav for...
Snapchat. Until the way nuts
So in yesh kezayis makom echad, but if there's a kezayis in one place, chayav and olav, then a person is going to be chayav for it. V'omer Rav Huna, and Rav Huna explains, v'usha kinsay, only when he deliberately gathered it together, and then by gathering it together, then he's kind of like unmevatel it. So if you say that even according to Rabbi Shmuel, it doesn't matter, meat attached to the skin is never bottle, whether it was cut away by an animal or whether it was cut away by a person, then fine. Rav Huna d'amar k'Rabbi Shmuel. Then Rav Huna is saying exactly is exactly according to Rabbi Shmuel. Because that's what Rav Huna is saying, Rabbi Shmuel is saying that the pieces attached to the skin are never going to be bottle, and we're not going to care why they were cut away. And Rabbi Huda is going to be saying that if you gather it together, then you're showing that you're not mevatel it. But if you tell me that even according to Rabbi Shmuel, if it was cut away by the knife, then it becomes bottle because it's attached to the skin, and because there was das involved in cutting it away and leaving it attached to the skin, then we have to ask Rav Huna to Amar Kaman. Then when Rav Huna explains Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, who would that follow? Because both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva would both be saying that these little pieces of flesh less than a kezias are bottle. So, you can't be unmevatel them. You can't be unmevatel them to make them nevela. And the fact is, later on in the Mishnah, we have Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. We don't have Rabbi Yehuda, implying that Rabbi Yehuda has to hold like one or the other of them. Now, Tosfos does point out, okay, Rabbi Shmuel is saying if you didn't gather it together, because we're talking about two half kazesim attached to the skin, Rabbi Yehuda is talking about where they're gathered together, but nevertheless, Tosfos says that because if we say they're arguing about platatu chaya, about when an animal bit it away, then that would be why Rabbi Shmuel doesn't require you to gather it together. If you're going to tell me that according to Rabbi Shmuel, platatu sakin, when the knife cut it away, it's not batel, then Rabbi Shmuel would have to hold that in order for it to not be batel, you'd have to gather it together. So the question is therefore that what Rav Huna is explaining, the two parts of Rav Huna's statement, how he's explaining Rabbi Yehuda, and how he's saying that if you have two pieces attached to the skin, that the skin is mevatel them, those two things don't seem to fit unless we say that according to Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the half kazesim are always not batel, then we can say that now when you gather them together in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is going to follow Rabbi Shmuel. But if you're going to tell me that even within that, you're going to have a time when they're attached to the skin and they're batel nonetheless, and you can't be unmevatel them to make them nevela, then how does Rav Huna's explanation of Rabbi Yehuda at all fit with the machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? Rashi explains. If we didn't have Rav Huna's statement about him gathering, the Rav Huna's first statement about him gathering it together, we would explain that it means that Rav Yehuda would be talking about where an entire kazayas was cut away together. Instead of it being a little shred here, a shred there, it happened to be an entire kazayas. Well, therefore, it wouldn't be batel, because if it's a whole kazayas, it's certainly not going to be batel. And then we would say that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva would hold Mudan about a whole kazayas, but only platatu chaya, whereas platatu sakin, the Chacham would hold even a kazayas can be batel, because there was das to cut it away. But now you're telling me that Rav Huna's second statement is only we're talking about who two half kazayasim, and in other words, if it was one kazayas, then it would be, and it's two half kazayasim, and nevertheless he gathered it together, and it's not batel, then who does that follow? So the answer is elul olam platatu sakin. So again, you have several Tosfos over here that discuss the point exactly. Maybe you could talk about the difference between gathering it together and not. So my answer is Ella, Lo'olam Platatu Sakin Rabbi Shmuel Le'Batel. Fine. The answer is going to be that according to Rabbi Shmuel, if Platatu Sakin, if they were cut away by the knife when you're skinning the animal, then they're not Batel. But Rav Huna, so therefore Rav Huna's din that they can be Batel would in fact not work according to Rabbi Shmuel at all. But Rav Huna, Amar Rabbi Akiva, well, very well then. Rav Huna goes like Rabbi Akiva, who said that they can't be batel. Well, then the question is pshita. Well, then of course it's very clear that's what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Then what's Rav Huna's chiddush? And the answer is ma'u detema. Without Rav Huna telling us, you would have thought ki ka'amar Rabbi Akiva. You know when Rabbi Akiva says that's not that it's batel, hanimili, exactly that, hanimili platatu sakin, only if it was cut away by the knife, because then there was das involved in cutting away. Ava platatu chaya le batel, but if it was cut away by an animal, you would think that Rabbi Akiva would hold that it's not batel, because there was no das, there was no conscious intention to cut it away and not keep it as part of the flesh of the animal. Therefore, Kamash Malan, therefore, Rav Huna wants to tell us, no, time into Rav Akiva, Nesha Ur Mevatlan, Rav Akiva's reasoning why he says it's batel is because they're attached to the skin, and therefore, Loshna Palat Chayav, Loshna Palat Sakin, so it doesn't matter how it got detached from the animal, whether by an animal biting, or whether by a person skinning the animal, Kidikatani Seifa, as in fact, the Mishnah goes on to say, if Neymar Rav Akiva Matar Ba'ur, so why is Rav Akiva being Matar when they're attached to the skin, with Nesha Ur Mevatlan, because they're bottled to the skin. So in other words, he wants to tell you that really is the reason. Even if he wasn't consciously mevatel it, whether he was consciously mevatel it or not, then either way the same din applies because it's attached to the skin and each piece is less than a kazayis, therefore it is bottled. So in summary, therefore, so we have the machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, but then we also have according to Rabbi Shmuel, they're not batel, and according to Rabbi Akiva, they are. And in the end, we're saying, now we're saying that according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's actually not going to be batal regardless, whether platatu sakin or platatu chaya. Either way, Rabbi Shmuel is going to hold it's not batal, whereas Rabbi Akiva, meanwhile, Rabbi Akiva is going to say that always mifnei sha'or mevatlan, the skin is mevatlan, and therefore it wouldn't even matter if you gathered them together afterwards. And here in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that if you gathered it together, then it's able to have tumas oichlin, but even then not. But so then it's able to have tumas oichlin and maybe even tumas nevelis. Okay. So it comes out. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion would fit with Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Rabbi Shmuel's opinion holds that they're not batal. Well then, Rabbi Yehuda says it really depends on whether you gathered them together or not. Okay. The Mishnah says, Elu sha'orisein kivsaran. The following, till now, we've been talking about the skin of an animal, and we're saying the skin is not edible, and because of that, it's not considered part of the flesh itself. The most we said, as we learned in the first Mishnah, was that it can combine together to make up the kibetza for Tumas Eichlin, because we said the skin can be the skin would be a shomer, and as we learned previously, a shomer, something that protects the food, is considered part of the food for many purposes in halacha. But now let's talk about, sometimes you have skins which themselves are very soft and very edible. So, Elu sha'orisein kivsaran, the Mishnah says, the following cases, the skin is exactly like the flesh, and it's not even needed to be mitzaref it by itself. You have a kezias of it in the case of a nevela, or a kibetz of it. In the case of food, then it's going to be considered food all by itself. And it would also mean, for example, if it's nevela or if it's a non-kosher animal, a person would be chayev for eating the skin all by itself. So they are as follows. First of all, ur ha'adam, human skin. So human skin, in other words, we're saying is matama just like the flesh of the mess. We'll talk about in the Gemara about why that is. One point that Tosfos points out is the Gemara elsewhere mentions that on the one hand, if a person's skin is damaged, it will regenerate. So in that sense, it can't be considered like bones or flesh or whatever, which don't. On the other hand, the fact is you often have a scar left over there, so therefore you can't really say that it's completely regenerated. So that's going to drive the different opinions. In our Gemara, we're going to talk about what's the deal with human skin. Anyway, so it's metame like the person themselves. Ve'or chazir shel yishuv, and also the skin of the domestic pig. Rabbi Yehuda Oimaf, or chazir abar. Rabbi Yehuda says also the skin of the of a wild pig. Next, ve'or chateras shel gomel haraka. The next one is the skin of the hump of the tender skin of a camel's hump. So we're going to see in the Gemara, up to what point is the skin considered tender? Up to what point is the animal considered a baby? There's actually two different ways of understanding the word haraka. Is haraka, is a gomel haraka, would mean a young, soft camel, and then it would be the skin of its hump. Or you could learn it, va'ur chateras shel gomel, the skin of the hump of the camel, haraka, when that skin is still soft. So it doesn't make a difference, la halacha, really, but just, in other words, how do we punctuate the sentence? Next, va'or ha'roish shel egel harach. Then you have the skin of a young calf, and again we're going to learn in the Gemara what the definition of young or tender is for that purpose. So again, if the animal is dead, then it's going to be nevela. And if we're talking about if it's alive, if it was killed by shechita the proper way, then we're talking about that it can have tumas oichlin. We talked about before, also, if a Jew shechts the animal, or if a goy shechts a kosher animal, then we also talked about tumas oichlin, as we learned yesterday as well. Okay. V'or ha'parsis, then you also have the skin of the hooves. So you have not the hooves themselves are not covered with skin, but you have right above them is an area, there's an area of skin. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what we mean by that. The next one is the skin of the of a female animal's private parts. Besa boshes literally means the place of shame. The same way as in English you have in England, fancy English, you have the word pudenda for the same area, which literally also means the shameful place. So it means that the skin of the genitals of a female. So that's also soft. The O has shlil and the skin of an unborn baby that was found in the womb. So also it's very soft, so therefore it's also edible like flesh. The O shall tachas alia, and the skin of the underside of the tail, in particular, alia means the fat tail, as we learned before, that has to be brought as a korban on the mizbeach when you bring the sheep as a korban. So now Rashi explains that specifically you have the underside of the tail. There's no hair there, and it's very soft, and therefore that's also counted as tender skin, which therefore is considered like flesh. And also the skin of four of the Shemona Shratzim. The Torah lists the Shemona Shratzim for us in the Pasuk, in Parashat Shemini. These are creatures which are, they're not large enough to be categorized as Behema or Chaya, because they don't have noticeable legs. They either have no legs or they have very short legs, so they're in a category called Shratzim. You have eight particular ones, which the Torah tells us. If they die, then they're Matame, then their dead bodies are Matame a person, with even the size of a lentil, as we've learned before. So now the Torah lists three of them in one pasuk, ha'cholad va'achla va'tzav l'minehu. Then the Torah continues in the next pasuk with five more, va'hanoka va'koyach va'latav va'chomet va'tin shamas. And so we're saying the first four in that second pasuk, their skins are considered to be like their flesh because they're soft. So what exactly these creatures are? There's different possibilities. Rashi gives translations over here that anoka would be a porcupine or something like that, a hedgehog or a porcupine. Koyach, Rashi doesn't translate over here, but other Rishonim translate as a type of lizard. L'tah, Rashi gives a translation over here as lizard, and chomet he translates as a snail. And he explains the French word he uses, limas, or however it's pronounced, could conceivably mean a slug or a snail, but Rashi refers to its shell. So therefore, of necessity, Rashi is talking about a snail. And in fact, Rashi says, the Gemara tells us that when a sheretz begins forming from in the egg or whatever it comes from, then it's the first stage of its formation is the size of a lentil. Rashi points out you actually find, if you look at a snail, you'll actually find that the tip of it, when it first starts growing, it's the size of a lentil. Anyway, so those are some translations. There are different other Rishonim give different other translations of what these creatures are. In any case, the point is they have soft skins, and then the Tanakhama is saying therefore that they were considered like the flesh. Rabbi Yehuda Omar, the Talka Choda. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says that the Lata, one of the four that the Tanakhama had mentioned, is like the Choda, where Choda means a Choda, the Choda. Means a weasel or a rat or a mole, or there's different possibilities what a Chulda is. But in any case, the point is, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, look, you Tanakama agree that the Chulda has a tough skin and it's considered separate from its flesh and it doesn't have the dinim of the flesh. Well, Rabbi Yehuda says the Lata, which is a type of lizard, is the same kind of thing. It also has a tough skin. So the point is, okay, so we have a whole list of skins that are soft and therefore are considered to be like the flesh. The Shoshanim LeDavid, one of the Meforshim on Mishnayos, points out that also what Rabbi Yehuda means to say is the texture, the hardness of the skin of the Lata is exactly the same as that of the Chulda, and therefore you should compare them. And you Tanakama agree that the Chulda does not have a skin that's like its flesh, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says the Lata has exactly the same texture. Okay, the Mishnah continues. V'chulan she'ibdan. Now all of these skins mentioned in the Mishnah, if you started processing them to make them into leather, so now they're not considered flesh anymore. Or even you just walked on them, you treaded on them, the amount of time that leather working does, which the Gemara is going to explain how much that is, but we find that the first stage of working leather is to tread on it a while, and that helps toughen it up. So if you did that, tahorin, then they're tahor, then they're not considered like the flesh anymore. So now they're considered like the skin, and therefore they don't transmit tumah. So if you're talking about it came from a nevela or a sheretz, it's not going to be matame anymore. And if you're talking about as far as food, it wouldn't be considered, wouldn't have tumas oichlin anymore. Chutz me'er ha'adam, with the exception of human skin, where that's still matame for reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. The Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Shmoina Shratzim, Yeshlein Oris, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, all Shmoina Shratzim are considered to have skins that are separate than their flesh. Meaning, in other words, that so again, we have the Tanakhama saying that there are four of them that have a skin that's considered the same as the flesh because it's soft. Rabbi Yehuda had taken one away from that list and said there are only three. So in other words, according to the Tanakhama, there are four that do have skins that are considered skins lahalacha. So for example, let's say the chola, the first one on the list, which again means a rat or a weasel or a mole rat, or there are a few different explanations among Rishonim what a chola is. In any case, that one, for example, according to both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, that one has a skin which is separate than the flesh, meaning that if you skinned a chola, then the skin would not be metane, and the same thing with some of the other ones. So according to the Tanakhama, there are four such creatures. According to the Yehuda, there are five. According to the Yechon and Nuri, all eight of them are considered to have skins that are relevant as far as this din, so none of their skins, according to him, would be metame when they're taken off the body. This kind of thing is also relevant. The question of whether the Shmona Shratzim are considered to have separate skins or not is also negeya to Hilchos Shabbos. In Hilchos Shabbos, you have if a person injures an animal, then he's chayev for the malacha of shoychet, because even though he hasn't killed the animal outright, he still caused it to bleed. Now, though, you have certain kinds of creatures that have soft skins, where therefore, if you injure them, either blood is going to come out, or not. You're never going to have these animals are not capable of being bruised because their skin is too soft. On the other hand, you have some of them where the skin is hard enough that blood can collect under the skin and form a bruise, and then a person will be chayev for bruising them as well. So there you have the same kind of question, which shnatzim are included in that category of being capable of being bruised, and which ones are not. So again, it would relate to the smachloikos over here of how many of the shmoina shnatzim are considered to have skins that are separate from their flesh. So the Gemara starts off, Dvar Torah or Odom Tahar. Minat Torah, the skin of a human body would be Tahar, because it's not considered to be part of the body. So in other words, Rashi says, in short, that it's not considered basar, so therefore it's not considered flesh, so therefore it's not considered part of the mess. Tosfos brings from a Gemara in Nidda that explains, like we said before, what parts of a person are matame, parts that are never going to regenerate if they're removed, as opposed to skin does regenerate. So there, in other words, the Gemara explains over there, for example, that teeth, let's say, so it has to be actually, it has to be two things. It has to be that it was formed together with the body when the person was first born, and that it doesn't regenerate. So for example, teeth are of a mess, so not matame, because teeth are not born with the person. A baby develops teeth only later on. And the same thing, hair and nails, and which constantly regrow. So now, according to this, we would say that skin also regenerates, and therefore it wouldn't be considered part of the body. Umatam Omru Tomei. So Ula says, why did the Chachamim declare that it's Tomei regardless? Gzera Shemiyasa Odom Uris Aviv Imesh Shtichin. Because the Chachamim made a Gzera that a person might take the skins of his father or his mother and make them into spreads. He might make them into bed spreads or things like that. Tosfos points out that anyway, as it is a mess, is also bahana. You wouldn't be allowed to make a carpet or a spread out of anybody's skin. But still, the Chacham wouldn't make such a gzera because of that chashash, if it weren't for the fact, because with the father and mother, you also have. On top of that, it's also a violation of kibud avein. And then there are Rishonim that Amban explain that the idea is a person loves his parents. So now, in other words, a person might want to keep the skin like symbolically, like he still has his parents with them, and then keep it for a long time, and then make a hesped for them for a longer time. And therefore, the Chachamim said that it's Tomei. So, in other words, the idea is this way: a person knows that it's Tomei, and therefore he's not going to come to. Therefore, he's not going to come to do that. We find in many places in Shas, by the way, people were concerned about Tumah V'Tahara very much in those days, and therefore, if you make a gzeirah that something is going to involve Tumah V'Tahara, then that will dissuade people from doing it. I mean, you could argue a person who's keeping skins of his parents around, I mean, is probably not such a normal person in the first place, but nevertheless, even such a person is going to be dissuaded by matters of Tumah V'Tahara. Okay, the Gemara says the Ikar Demasni La Sefer. Now, on the other hand, there are those who learn that Ula's statement refers to the Sefer of the Mishnah, where we said Cholin She'ibdon, when we had this whole list of skins in the Mishnah, and we said all of them, if you started working them, tanning them, or Shehilch Ben Kedei Avodah, or you walked on them, you trod on them, the amount of time that for the first stage of tanning it. Tahorin, and we said they're not matame anymore. Chutzme or Odom, except for human skin. Now on the second version, Oma Ula, Dvar Torah Odom Sheibdei Tahor. Now according to the second version, Ula says that Minat Torah, if the skin was tanned, then it would be Tahor. So in other words, in the first version, he was saying that the skin is never matame. In the second version, he's saying if the skin is still raw, then it would in fact be matame. And the reason is because as the Gemara explains in Nida over there, the fact is that when skin is torn off, it does heal, but it basically becomes a scar. So it doesn't regenerate fully. So in that sense, it's exactly like flesh or bones or whatever. But at least if it was worked, then it ought not to be matame anymore, the same way as the skin of a sheretz or a nevela or whatever. Or matam or mutame, in the second version, all those things, why'd the chachamim say that even after it's tanned, it would be tame, same as we said, gzera shem yasa adam, oris of a imashtichin, because you don't want the gzera that a person might make the skins of his parents into spreads, which again, according to Tosfos, not dafka as parents, but anybody, or according to the Ramban, it means that Dafka's parents, where a person might want to like remember them for a long time and have like a memento of them. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Man demasni la reisha." The version that says that Ula's statement refers to the reisha kol shekein ha-sefer. How much more so to the sefer? If even raw human skin, according to Ula's first version, is not matame midaraisa, only midarabanan. How much more so if it was worked into leather? Where's the version that attributes Ula's statement to the Sefer, he would say, Avala Resha, Tumah D'Oraisa, but in the Resha, where it's still in its natural state, then Ula would agree that it has Tumah D'Oraisa. Because it's not going to fully regenerate. Fine. Next, the Mishnah had said, V'or chazir v'cholo, you had the skin of a domestic pig, according to the Tanakhama, is in this category of soft skins that are considered like flesh, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, also a wild pig. So the Gemara says, Ma'ikam afligi, what's the underlying machlokas? Marsa v'hai ashun v'hai rakich. The Tanakhama holds that the skin of a wild pig is hard and stiff, whereas the one from a domestic one is soft. And so only the one that's soft is going to be considered like meat. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds the skin of the wild pig is also soft enough to be considered. So in other words, obviously it's not machlokas and metzius. You could go feel them, but in other words, the Tanakhama says it's stiff enough to not be considered like meat. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says it's not really stiff enough like some of the other skins that we were talking about, that it should not be considered like a meat. Okay. Next, we said urchateras shogomal haraka. Then we said the skin of the hump of a tender camel, and we said the word haraka can refer either to the camel or to the hump, whatever, but where it's young and tender. So the kama gomal haraka, up to what point is it considered young and tender? As long as the camel has never borne a burden on its back. Once it starts carrying burdens. So actually, as far as the wild pig, actually, the vote is that the vote is, in other words, sometimes people will, goyim will go and then cook it in hot water, Rabbi Yohanan explains, and then they'll be able to eat it. So the Tanakhama holds most people won't eat it, but Rabbi Yehuda holds the fact is you do have some people who will. Okay, so now, so we said the skin of the hump of a young camel. So how much is that? As long as it hasn't borne a burden. Once it starts bearing burdens, once it starts carrying a burden on its back, then the skin of the hump starts hardening and getting toughened. So the Gemara says, "Boy Rabbi, I mean, he gives man a litan v'lo tana mahu. What would happen if it's of the age to already start carrying burdens? There's a normal, there's a certain age when people would usually start training their camels to carry burdens. So it's already at that age v'lo tana, but in practice it hasn't borne one yet. Mahu, what would be the din? Do we say that already it's old enough to bear, to carry burdens, and therefore it would already, or the skin would be considered separate from the flesh and not be metameh as tumas nevelos, or not, because the fact is, or would it still be considered like the flesh, because the fact is it hasn't yet carried a burden? Boya Abaya, and Abaya asks the other way around. Lohi giyas manu lutan v'tana mahu. What happens if it's below age, below the normal age of carrying a burden, and nevertheless somebody put a burden on it? So in other words, basically, the question is, what's the important thing for this purpose, the age or the actual carrying of a burden? So the Gemara says teiku, in both those cases, teiku, and we leave it unresolved, which would mean, therefore, in other words, it would be a suffix whether it's metame or not. Okay. So the Gemara says, Yossi v'shlokish v'kamim boi, like Tama gomol haraka, v'shlokish one time was sitting and asking, when we say in our Mishnah, gomol haraka, a young, soft camel, up to what point? Kama gamal haraka, up to what point is it considered tender? Omale Rabbi Shmuel bar Abba, so Rabbi Shmuel bar Abba tells him, Hachi Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, you should know, Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi said, Kozman Shle Tana, as long as it hasn't borne a burden. So fine, he doesn't specify, like we said, do we mean the age of bearing one, or actually bearing one, but at least he told him that Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi says that once it bears a burden, then it's not considered raka anymore. Omalei, so Rish Lakish was very appreciative of that, and he says, Tivla Kivli, sit opposite me. You can sit in the important place, the place for the senior Talmud, right in front of me. Now, on the other hand, Yossi Reb Zera become a bari, right? One time Reb Zera was sitting and asking the question, Kama Gomel Haraka, the same question, what's considered a Gomel Haraka? Omele Rovin Bachinina. So Rovin Bachinina tells him the same thing. Hachioma Ola, Omele Rabbi Shoban Levi, Kozman Shle Tarna, that Ola said in the name of Rabbi Shoban Levi, as long as it hasn't borne a burden. Now, Reb Zera did not respond to that, did not show that he had, So Reb Zera did not show that he had heard that. So Habakatoni lost, and Robin Bachinina repeated the answer. Omalei, so Reb Zera says, Choda Havyalach Amrat, just because you have one thing, you have one statement in Torah that's a chiddush, and therefore you're saying it again. What are you repeating it again just to show off? So the Gemara says, Tochazi, Mabin Takifi, the Arad Yisrael, Lachasidi the Bubble. Come see the difference in these little two anecdotes between the tough people of Eretz Yisrael, the tough Tamar Chacham of Eretz Yisrael, versus the Hasidim of Bubble. Rish Lakish lived his whole life in Eretz Yisrael, and he was a Takif, he was considered a strong, a tough kind of person. Rashi brings from a Gemara in Yoma that Rish Lakish was very selective who he would talk with. If you saw Rish Lakish talking with somebody in the street, you would know Rish Lakish already checked him out and found him to be such a trustworthy person that afterwards actually you could lend that person money without even aiding him and trust that he's going to be an honorable person and pay it back. So that shows that Rish Lakish is a very tough, selective kind of person. And nevertheless, when Rabbi Shmuel bar Abba came to him with this teaching, he was very appreciative and says, "Here, sit here, gesunte hate, you can sit in front of me." On the other hand, Reb Zera is called one of the Hasidim of Bavel. He was originally from Bavel, and he was one of the Hasidim over there. He Rashi brings from a Gemara in Bava Metzia. He fasted many fasts to forget the Gemara of Bavel in order to be able to learn the Gemara of Eretz Yisrael, and he used to check himself every 30 days and find himself immune to fire, and therefore he knew he's immune to the fire of Gehenna. So he's one of the Hasidim of Bavel. And he was saying that when Rovin Bachinina said this thing to him, he didn't react at first, and then he spoke to him in this critical way. So we can actually see the difference then between even the takifi, even the tough Tamar Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael are still they treat their Talmidim more gently than even the Hasidim of Bavel, such as Reb Zera, who had originally come from Bavel and settled in Eretz Yisrael, and we see that he still retains some of that toughness. So we see that he still retains some of that toughness of Bavel. to pack a wider ribs. They don't do that. So the Chassam Sofer explains, because when Rish Lakish received the explanation, when he was told that it's at that calls man shleitana, then he knew, he understood that it meant that it actually bore burden, based on a shita of his elsewhere. So he could be impressed by it, as opposed to Rabzeira. He's saying that, as opposed to Rabzeira, Rav and Bachinina is telling him Kolzman Shleitana, but you still have the possibility for those questions of the Yumiyas and Abayas before, about does it depend on the actual age, or does it depend on it actually holding, on actually carrying the burden. So Rav Zeta is being critical and saying, look, you know, as don't you realize there's two possible ways of understanding it, and you're not even specifying which one is the right one, so how much good are you doing? So in other words, so it's not just a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Babel, it's also a difference whether he could take it as a given that this is the full answer, or whether that answer itself needs more clarification. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said, "V'or harosh v'cholah." We said the skin of the head of a young calf. So again, v'kama egel harach. Up to what point is it considered young and tender? Ula ama ben shnasi. So Ula says when it's still within its first year. Rabbi Yochanan ama calls man sheyonik, and Rabbi Yochanan says only as long as it's nursing. So now we have to understand then that the Gemara wants to assume that there's a certain overlap between what they hold. In other words, it's not that each of them is saying a completely different explanation. We would assume that each of their explanations complements the other one. So that's one way of looking at it. Tosfos mentions that point. That in other words, does Ula maybe mean that it mean that means that Ula is saying as long as it's a, as at, when it's in its first year and it's still nursing, and Rabbi Yochanan would be saying when it's nursing and it's within its first year, and then we would assume, in other words, then the question would be what if it's one and not the other. But then Tosfos gives another explanation, if it's within its first year and it doesn't matter whether it's nursing or not, then all the more so if it's after the first year, if it's still nursing, it should be considered that it's still soft. So why would Rabbi Yochanan be adding the words kol zman sheyonik? And therefore the Gemara wants to find out exactly what the two of them hold. What does Ula mean? Ben shnasei v'hu sheyonik, when the animal is within its first year, but only if it's also still nursing, and if not, if it stops nursing, then the skin starts hardening as well. And Ula may not have said that. Rashi explains, because the Chachamim in the Beis Medrash knew that. They knew that point that it depends on whether it's nursing. For Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Zman Sheyonik, and then Rabbi Yochanan is saying, no, as long as it's still nursing, even if it's after the first year. Or maybe Ula means to say dafka within its first year, ben yonik or ben sheina yonik, whether it's nursing or not. For Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying ben shnasei. That's only when it's in its first year. Only if it's also still nursing. So does Ula mean that you need both? And Rabbi Yochanan is saying it's enough to have just one of them. As far as being 1 year old, that's true. It's still considered soft. But you didn't mention as far as the nursing. And the fact is that when nursing is a factor that was known in the Beis Medrash, not even within the year, even if it continues nursing after a year. So is it that, or is it the other way around? Ula is saying that the nursing makes no difference, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying on the contrary, in order for it to be considered soft, it has to be within its first year and it has to be nursing. Tosfos is saying one possibility is you could have said each one is saying something completely different, but the Gemara assumes that the machlokas between them is not so dramatic. The Gemara assumes there's not that much of a machlokas between them, and also because when it's not nursing, sure, we're going to assume that the skin is going to remain softer. So when Rabbi Yochanan is mentioning the nursing, then that would mean no question that Ula must also mean when it's Ula also means when it's nursing. And therefore, so the question is again: is Rabbi Yochanan coming to add or to take away from what Ula is saying? So the Gemara says Toshma. Well, we can prove from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan Omar calls man sheyonik. Rabbi Yochanan says as long as it's nursing. Now, but Imisa, if he meant that he, if he meant that it has to be in its first year and it still has to be nursing, v'hushi yonik mi barilei, then he shouldn't be saying as long as it's nursing. He should be saying only if it's nursing, and that would imply it has to be within the year, and also only if, in addition, it's also nursing. So, and the fact that he doesn't say that shmamino, so it shows that Rabbi Yochanan holds that in fact it's considered soft as long as it's nursing, even if it's even if it's older than a year. Nevertheless, it's still going to be considered soft for as long as it for as long as it's nursing. Shmamino, so that proves that that's what Rabbi Yochanan holds. So in other words, in short, Ula is going to say only if it's both, and Rabbi Yochanan is going to say as long as it's nursing, doesn't matter how old it is. Okay, the Gemara says Bominei Resh Lakish min Rabbi Yochanan. So in this connection, Resh Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, Ol ha'rosh shel egel harach, the skin of a young of the head of a young calf, Maushi Yitame, is it Mitame? If it's Nevela or Tomas Ochlin respectively. Basically, in other words, Tosva says, now he knew what it says in the Mishnah, but he wants to know in practice, do we follow that? Omale ain't a Matame. So Resh Lakish tells him it's not Matame. So Resh Lakish says, Omale, the Matana Rabbeinu, Rebbe, you taught us, you taught us that the Mishnah says, that the Mishnah lists ones where the skin is like the flesh, and one of them is the skin of the head. And Rabbi Yochanan always tells us that the halacha is like a stam Mishnah. Well, therefore, that should mean that the halacha is like that. Amalei. So Rabbi Yochanan tells him, Al takniteti, don't start up with me, don't provoke me. Beloshen yochad ani shona oisa, because that Mishnah, I teach it not as a stam Mishnah, I teach it as a Mishnah with, that's attributed to a particular Tana. I teach that Elazar ben Yehuda said it, and therefore that implies that that I don't hold necessarily that halacha is like it. So in other words, so Rashi between here and different places, this Gemara is brought in a few places in Shas, including earlier in Amasechta. So Rashi, to combining together what Rashi says in the various places, the vote was Rabbi Yochanan had originally taught us a Stam Mishnah, which implies the halacha is like it. So the Shlokish wonders then why you're telling me that not. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying, because I changed my mind, I realized the halacha is not like this Mishnah. I remembered that it's like the opinion of an individual Tana, and therefore it's not necessarily the halacha is like it. Tosfos actually learns differently. Tosfos earlier in Or Masechta learns differently that Rabbi Yochanan actually had a version of the Mishnah that actually said Divir Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbi Yaakov, that he actually attributed it to specific Tanoim in the wording of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, D'Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, when a person shechts an oila, lahakter kezayis ma'osh tachas alya, when he has in mind that he's going to offer a kezayis of the skin under the tail, the underside of the tail, which we said in our mission as one of these soft skins, and as we learned in the Zvachim and Menachas, you have the whole matter of chutz v'zmana and chutz v'makoyma, if he has in mind to offer it beyond the time that you're allowed to, or outside of the place, outside the azara where you're allowed to, where chutz v'zmana makes it tiggle, and chutz v'makoyma makes it possible. So lahakter, so he has in mind to offer a kezayis of the skin, of the skin, of the underside of the tail, chutz v'makoyma, and he has in mind to do that chutz v'makoyma outside the azara. So then, possible, the end by koris, the korban will be possible, but there's no koris for it, because there's no koris for eating a korban that's possible like that. But if he has in mind that he's going to do it beyond the time of the korban, pigul chayovin olav koris, then the korban becomes pigul, and then he's chayv koris for it. Now, as we learned in Zvachim, in order for it to become posel or pigul, it has to be that he's having in mind something that is normally eaten or something that's normally burnt. Now, the skin of the underside of the tail is considered like flesh, and therefore it's considered dava shadavka lahakter. It's something which is normally offered, because as opposed to the rest of the skin of the animal is skinned before it's offered on the mizbeach, and the skin is given to the kohenim. So therefore, here we're talking about a skin, though, which is part of the flesh, like our Mishnah had said. So now, therefore, so the rules of posel or pigul with it will apply, in other words, again, because it's considered flesh. And continues the Braisa, Elazar ben Yehuda ish avlum oyma mishum Rabbi Yaakov. Elazar ben Yehuda said it from Avloim, from the name of a place, Avloim, says in the name of Rabbi Yaakov, v'chein hayu Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kvar ikum oyma mishum Rabbi Shimon. And likewise, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda from kvar ikum said in the name of Rabbi Shimon. Echad Urpausis, whether we're talking about the skin of the hooves, the skin above the hooves, as the Gemara is going to talk about soon, exactly what area that means. The Echad Ota Roshal Egorach, or the soft, or the skin of the head of a soft, tender calf, which also was in our mission as one of these soft skins. Now, when it comes to the skin of an Ola, the animal as a whole is skin, but the head is not. The head is offered on the Mizbeach with the skin. So that also, the echad oshal tachas alya, or the skin under the skin of the underside of the tail, the chol shemana chachamim legabe truma sha'resein kibsaran, everything that the chachamim listed in our Mishnah as far as truma, that the skins are considered like the flesh because they're soft, and that means the Gemara interjects lahavi oshal besa boshes, that comes to include the skin of the female genitals. Which would apply to a chatas or a shlomim. So the Braisa didn't mention it explicitly because we're talking about an oila, and an oila by definition is all male. In any case, so all these things, chutz the mekoyme, again, if the person has in mind that he's going to eat it, that he's going to eat it, or if he's going to burn it, chutz the mekoyme, outside the azara, posel, the invokaris, then the korban will be posel, because now it's chutz the mekoyme, but the invokaris, but there's no koris as usual with a posel of korban, chutz is mana, if he has in mind, chutz is mana, tigul chayov and olav koris, then it's going to be tigul and his chayav koris. So we see, therefore, that only these two Tanaim, Elazar ben Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Yaakov, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Shimon, they hold that all the skins in our Mishnah are Orisei and Kivsar, and the skins are like the flesh. But we see that the Tanakama only considers Ursha Tachsa Alya, only the skin on the underside of the tail, and that's because that's how the Braisa went. He has in mind Ursha Tachsa Alya, then we said Posel or Pigle respectively, and then Elazar ben Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda come in and add also the whole list from our Mishnah. So it comes out, therefore, that our Mishnah is not according to everybody, and there's no reason to assume there would be a difference as far as the dinim of posel or pigel versus the dinim of truma, and therefore we can assume that our Mishnah is not like everybody. It's only like those two chachamim, and therefore it would not in fact be matame, just like by pigel according to them it's not relevant to only according to them is it relevant to pigel, but according to the chachamim it would not, and in fact pigel would not apply to it. The Rambam actually does draw a distinction. The Rambam does say that when it comes to pigul, he says all of these things, they're not counted, he says the only one would be the Ur Ha'alya, only the skin of the underside of the tail. On the other hand, when it comes to Tumah, he does bring on Mishnah, so different Mephoshim talk about why indeed that would be, why the Rambam would be drawing that distinction when our Gemara seems to equate them. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said, V'urbeis ha'parasis, the skin of the area of the hooves. So my besa parasis, what do we mean the area of the hooves? Ravam a besa parasis mamish. So Rav says it means the actual place of the hooves themselves. So we have it's the skin that covers the hooves themselves, or right above it. Not, in other words, Rashi points out that would not mean the lower leg, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, an animal's leg, a kosher animal's leg has three segments to it. The lowest segment is directly above the hooves. It corresponds to our palm of the hand or sole of the foot. So that part would be considered regular skin and would not be considered Odesei and Kivsaron. Only the skin of the hooves itself, or directly above the hooves, would be the soft skin that we're mentioning in our Mishnah. Rab Chanina, Amar Rechovan, and Keresim Arosh. Rab Chanina says it means the whole joint that's sold together with the head. In those times, what they used to do is they would take that lower part of the leg from the ankle joint, all the way to the bottom, and they would sell that together with the head. The idea being that piece and the head, neither one have very much meat on them, so together they would make a nice size piece. So according to Rab Chanina, that whole lower part of the leg, the skin of it is considered to be soft skin, like we're talking about over here. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah of Ur HaAnoka, we said the skin of the Anoka, the Koyach, we mentioned several of the Shrotzin, where according to the Tanakama, their skins are considered soft. So the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan. When the pasuk says Hatmeim, the pasuk says the Tmeim, Ela Hatmeim Lachem. So now, when it says the hay in the word Hatmeim, that means the Rabbis are the same Kibsoran comes to include that there are Shrotzim where the skins of them have the same din as the flesh of them. So in other words, we're learning from the hay. Now Rashi points out, we learned before, that from the hay we also learn the juice of them and then stuff that exudes out of them and the shreds of meat from them that are cooked. So Rashi points out all of these are basically the same thing. They're all considered food, and there's no reason why the hay should exclude one more than the other, and therefore all of them are included. So that teaches us that the skins are also considered to be like the flesh when it comes to shrotzim. Yochal after the kulon. Now you would think that applies to all the shmona shrotzim, because after all the Torah gives the whole list and then it says elat meim lochem. So no, Talmud Lama Ela, that's why the pasuk says Ela, which is a miut, which means only some of them. So that's where we learn, like we said in our Mishnah, that only some of them are subject to the din. So if one asks for Ela Kuluk Sivi, the fact is the word Ela refers to all of them, and it gives the whole list of eight, and then it says Ela Tmei Mochem. And the answer is Amarav, Laminehu Hifsika Inyan, because the first pasuk has Laminehu at the end of it, and therefore that breaks it up. The way that pasuk goes is, the way the pasuk goes is it starts by listing the shrotzim, the zelachem atomim, asheras asheras alaretz, and then it lists three of them, acholad va'achva va'atzov l'minehu, and then it continues in the next pasuk with the other five. So when it says l'minehu, that breaks up the subject, and that means that the three in the first pasuk and the five in the second pasuk are different as far as this goes. So now when it says Ela Hatmeim Lachem, and you're going to say the dinim Hatmeim, the fact that the skin is counted as part of the flesh, then it refers only to the last five that we mentioned. Only Hanokav Akorech Valatov Achaim Efatim Shamas. In other words, in effect, usually the word Laminehu, when it comes to these listings, usually means those other subspecies that have the same din. Here we're taking Laminehu to say that those all constitute one type, and then the ones in the next pasuk constitute a different type as far as the skins. So if you want to ask, in that case, for Lakshav Nami Tinshemes. Well, in that case, the Tinshemes is the eighth one on the list, the fifth one in the second pasuk, and our Mishnah should also list it as one of the ones that has a soft skin, and it didn't. What the Tinshemes is, again, you have a few possibilities. It can be translated as a mole or there's different other possibilities, but why isn't that listed? And the answer is, Omer Shesh is Bredin Avidi, Tani Didan, Savalaka Rabbi Horda. Because the Tana of, sorry, I skipped a line. Omer Shmom Yitzchak, Rav, Tana who, the Tani Tinshemes. As a matter of fact, Rav, who learns that we learn from this word Ela and Hatmeim, he is considered a Tana, the Tani Tinshemes. And in fact, he has a version of the Mishnah, or Braitha, that he actually has the Tinshemes in the list as well. So he would say that, in fact, it's not just the four that are mentioned in the Mishnah, but also a fifth one, which is Oresehem Kivsarim. Okay, so the question is, well, Tani Yidon Loi Tani Tinshemes. The fact is, though, the Tana of our Mishnah doesn't teach Tinshemes, so then where is he learning from then that it should apply to only the four that he listed? So the answer is, because the answer is, our Tana holds like Rabbi Yehuda, the Ozel Bosuk Gishta, who goes according not to what it lists in the Pasuk, but the actual texture of the skin, whether it's hard or not. So he's not learning from a Pasuk like Rav does, he's just learning from, practically speaking, let's feel the skin and see which ones are soft and which ones are hard. The only argument is about the texture of the skin of the latah of the lizard. Is that considered a hard skin or not? So it's just basically it's a subjective thing where each of them felt skins and determined. I hold that this one is considered soft enough to be considered like flesh, and I hold the other one is not. So Tanakama has four such creatures, and Rabbi Yehuda has three. So Rashi explains that means, in other words, according to the Tanoim of our Mishnah, we're not using that drosha of Atmeim at all. Tosfos says, no, they all do agree with the drosha of Atmeim, but they're using the Svara. They're using Svara, which ones are going to be included and which ones are not. They don't hold that Laminehu breaks things up. Rav, who holds Laminehu, if the Kenyan, then he should have to hold that Tinshemes is included, and indeed he has a version that includes them. So in short, we have three different opinions. We have Rav, who holds that there are five included in this category, the five that are in the second pasuk. The Tanakhama of our Mishnah, who holds only four, because he says there are only four that he considers to have soft skins. So he's saying that, fine, I agree with the Drosha, that it's going to depend on, that's only going to be the ones in the second part, that's only going to be ones in the second pasuk, but not necessarily or he's going to hold from the word hatmeim that we're going to learn the skins, but he's going to say you have to go according to the svara which ones to include and which ones not. And Rabbi Huda is going to follow the same svara, and therefore he has only three. Fine. So that covers the various skins. And now we had said in the Mishnah, if you start tanning them, and we'll take up that point about tanning them and about more dinim in this regard, as far as these skins, we'll take that up tomorrow, Beis Hashem.